Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Support WrestleTalk!
Donate on Patreon.
Making their way to the ring at a combined weight of undeniably sexy, hailing from London, the Wrestle Ramble Podcast!
Hello and welcome to the Wrestle Ramble Podcast. I am Luke Owen, and for the first time ever on this show, I am joined by Pete Quinnell.
Well, hello there.
Hi, Pete.
Hi.
How's it going?
It's going very well. How about you?
Very, very well. Thank you very much. So, good. To any of our new listeners or perhaps old listeners who might not have heard your name before, Who are you, Pete, and why should we care?
why you should care? I don't know about that. My name's Pete. I am on the Screen Stalker channel. I also edit for WrestleTalk.com, so I am one of the team members over there. Long-time listener and, I guess, general fan of WrestleTalk. Don't mean to compliment you too much.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. So now I'm here talking with Luke about NXT.
Yes, indeed. Yes. So Laurie was unfortunately busy today. He had a lot on his plate and a lot of training that he needs to do. So he could not come join us for the NXT review. Yeah. It's also, if you're a Podswafter and you don't watch any of the YouTube stuff, today's show might feel a bit more ramshackle because we broadcasted it live on YouTube. We live streamed it. I've never done a live stream before.
I have, although I've never done it on YouTube. So the whole experience was very new for both of us.
And it went tits up.
It did. Yeah. It was something. We managed to get it done in the end.
Yep.
And that's what matters.
That's what matters. Yeah. I kind of broke it a little bit. I thought I was helping and I sort of broke it a little bit.
It was fine.
It was
really
fine. We got there
fault.
In the end. Yeah, but also like fine. We couldn't quite work it because we tried to create it as an event. And then that didn't go live and we couldn't quite work out why it wouldn't go live.
Yeah.
So things just went slightly wrong with it. But lessons learned for the next time that we try and do it.
Exactly.
So it was very much fun.
Yes, it was.
Anyway, Pete, how has your week been?
It's been busy, as usual, because, again, peeling back the curtain a little bit, I don't live in London. I live in Newcastle. Anyone who's from the UK knows that Newcastle is a long way away.
It's a long, long way away.
From London. So currently, I'm doing a lot of traveling. And they're on buses. So
Megabus.
So
it's like a pound.
It's not quite that cheap, but I wish it was. So there's a whole lot of traveling involved and a lot of tiredness because travel. Other than that, it's been good.
Good.
I don't have really much time for anything else other than working and traveling, but other than that, I'm good.
Thou a good man. we've got a Rusev Hey in from Paul that says, greetings, Luke, Ollie, El Fakador, and possibly Chopper.
Oh, they got it right.
They got it right. They clearly knew you were going to be here.
Oh, yeah. I guess I probably should say that. I'm the guy that was in the mask on the WrestleTalk videos.
Yeah.
That Chopper guy.
That's the Chopper guy.
That's me.
After all, you'll talk about Batista's acting ability. It reminded me of my own kind of Rusev Hey. The year was 2013. The place was San Diego Comic-Con. I'm sitting at Hall H after 3 days of waiting in line, and they bring up the cast of Guardians of the Galaxy. Chris Hardwick asked Dave, how did you get the job to play Drax the Destroyer? To which Dave replied, man, this is the hardest thing I've ever done in my life. I auditioned 9 different times. I'm up to 3 weeks ago. I had no idea whether or not I was going to get the job. And working with these people the last 3 weeks has grown even more as an actor and all the classes I've taken. It was about this place that he started to tear up, genuinely choking back tears. He then says, I'm thankful to all these people up here being so patient with me and grown as an actor. And growing as an actor, I imagine. But unfortunately, he has also corrected to just groan. Honestly, it was quite moving to see how important this role was to him. By far, the best part was when Chris asked Benicio del Toro directly after how he got the part, and Benicio replays Feige called him and said, "Do you want to be in my movie?" And I said, "Sure, I got nothing else to do." So that's my reset pay. Sorry for the long email, but it was a long story. It's amazing to see how far he has come as an unsure fledgling to a full fledgling. A fledged movie star. I do apologize for terrible reading of that. Thanks for the consistent work. All hail the Screen Stalker. I know, Sorry, don't know. I said that was weird. also, Randy fan should be called Randy's Dandies. Love you, bye. That's from Paul. Randy's Dandies, I think, has been suggested before, but he did also email in because we have said before, Pixar, it doesn't happen.
We got pics.
We have got pics. Obviously, it's not him with Big Dave.
He's not with Big Dave.
But he's taking a photo of the screen at Hall H. There's Benicio Del Toro. There is Tom Hiddleston as Loki.
When he came out as Loki. That was cool. I watched that.
And there is, I'm going to guess that's our boy Paul, posing in front of the Captain America motorcycle.
Captain America, yeah.
Very, very cool stuff, man. Cool stuff. Thank you so much for your Rusev, hey? And not only are you holding a Captain America shield, you're dressed as the Winter Soldier.
Oh, that's super cool. That's nice.
That is cool. Let's have a get better.
Let's do that.
So I'm going to do this one right here. This comes in from Thomas, and it says, "Hello, Wonder Ollie, the other one, Fagador, not that Randy fella. Imagine a while ago, I was trying to do a wrestle talk, get better to lose weight, get fitter, and become a wrestler. You may remember me as the guy that sent you a picture with Jack, that jobber guy. I thought I would give you an update on how my get better is going. Since setting my goal, I've lost 35 pounds and officially joined the NGW Hull Wrestling Academy, nice. Taught by Nathan Cruz and Matt Myers, two of the best guys you could ever hope to meet." That's true. I mean, I've only met Nathan, but he is a wonderful, wonderful chap.
Yes, he is.
You could be dead and unable to feel your legs, but they still have a laugh about you about it and help encourage you. I've also signed up to run a rock and roll half marathon in Liverpool in May, even though I've never run a 5K before, so wish me luck. I have registered my predicted time to be an even 2 hours, so I'm going to be training very hard for that one. What is a rock and roll marathon?
I have no idea. Is it just a marathon where you've got to like play some music the whole time?
Yeah.
I have no idea.
It's almost like the Aerosmith rock and roller coaster at Disney MGM.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's a roller coaster, but it's soundtrack to Aerosmith.
Exactly, yeah.
Could be that.
Who knows?
Finally, I've also set up a workout challenge for people in my office at work, where on the first day of the year, you will do one burpee, and the second day, you will do two, and so on, and it's this for an entire year.
Oh, my goodness me.
That's actually quite good.
That's good.
That's a really good thing to do.
Yeah. Because, I mean, at the end of the year, you're doing 365 burpees. It's a lot of burpees.
It's a lot of, yeah.
If you're doing that like every day, you could build up to it. That's
exactly,
not
you're building up.
Idea.
That's a great idea. I'm going to see if we can install. I'm going to pitch that to the office.
Yeah,
and see if
great.
We do it as a Wrestle Talk. A Wrestle Talk team get better.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, we'll have to start it now. Like, I'm not going to, because how far are we into this month?
Oh God, we've got to start off.
I'm not doing like 60 odd.
To start off with. Yeah.
I want to start with one. Like, if I'm starting anywhere, I'm starting with one.
Yeah, and we'll just end like 60 off the top. We'll do like end at about 300 at the end of the year.
Anyway, thanks for reading the email. Keep up the amazing, consistent work, and please tell Randy to stop ruining the singing videos. Not now, Randy! Thank you, guys. That's from Thomas. Thank you, Thomas, for your email. Thank you so much for your wonderful Get Better update, and the best of luck with you with your work at NGW.
Yeah, super cool.
I'm going to do this quick email here because it ties into the podcast that we're about to listen to. This comes in from James, who's one of our pledge hammers over on Patreon. He says, "Hello, Luke and Laurie. I posted this on Patreon, but thought it'd be good for the NXT ramble." Okay, so I like NXT's Aaliyah. I started following her while watching Breaking Ground on the WWE Network.
Great show.
She's an above average wrestler. She just needs a quality finisher. The point of this is not actually about her skill, though. It's about her character, or characters, plural. I think I know why she hasn't been considered for a move into the title picture. Every time Aaliyah gets traction with a character, a main roster wrestler steals it. As the pictures I've included will show, Aaliyah gained popularity as the Cat's Meow, wearing cat ears she would give to fans. Almost a year later, Natalia starts wearing them since she's a crazy cat lady, and Aaliyah promptly stops. She also stopped appearing on TV. Flash forward to a recent month, and Aaliyah starts referring to herself as Bougie. B-O-U-G-E-J-E-E.
But not bourgeois.
Could be bourgeois, mate.
I have no idea.
But, I mean, it's phonetically, it's bougie.
Sure. Bougie on down over here.
Hang on, I'm going to put some... Well, that's a song. I don't want that. How to pronounce...
Bougie all night long.
Okay.
Have we got one?
Bad and bougie.
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 Yeah.
Bougie.
I was right.
Congratulations.
Sorry, referring to herself as Bougie and starts adopting a high society / self-indulging character. She's getting some retraction in it and appearing on TV. However, today, Carmela posts on the Grams referring to herself as Bougie. Sigh. Back to the drawing board, Aaliyah. P.S. I fully appreciate this is the longest email anyone has ever written about Aaliyah. Still, she's better than Tynara Conti. Oh, bearing Tynara Conti here. And he's added pictures. So that was okay. Aaliyah during her Cat's Meow gimmick phase.
Okay, yeah. And I see that. I see it.
Then Natalia steals it.
Uh-huh.
And this is now her in her Bougie gimmick. She Bougie. Okay. Ah, right. She Bougie rhymes. So that
okay,
makes sense.
Sure.
Yeah.
Also, why is she wearing the plain Photoshop background?
It's removed all the layers. and there is Carmella, who has written, they call me Bougie like it's a bad thing.
Apparently.
Right, okay.
Well.
So we're going to crack into the show, but I'm going to do some Googling because I don't know what it means.
No, I have no idea. I'm assuming it means like high class or like classy
what
or...
What does bougie mean? We'll find out. I'm going to have that as a tease.
Yeah, a tease
for the outro point of this podcast. So I don't know how this podcast is going to come out because it is a live variation. You're going to have little interruptions from Ollie every now and again and yep. a bit of a cameo from Stephen Larson. So I don't know how this is going to go, but bear with us.
Yep.
Teething issues, etc. We're going to be starting off, though, with about Tommaso Ciampa vacating the NXT Championship. Here is the show. What were we going to talk about? Because this show had, like, it was one match show.
Yes.
Right, like the whole thing had been built up very much a last minute thing because of the Tommaso Ciampa injury.
Mm-hmm.
We were meant to be building towards Ciampa versus Gargano at NXT TakeOver New York, not Brooklyn.
Not Brooklyn.
That's scuppered a little bit.
Yeah.
Because Tommaso Ciampa was dealing with various different neck injuries,
mm-hmm.
Particularly a very, very bad injury that was kind of fusing his spine together.
Mm. Nasty.
Horrible, horrible business. The original plan was he was going to get that looked at after TakeOver New York.
Yeah.
That would have finished off this storyline that we've been mm-hmm. telling for the last few years, finished everything, and that would have been the nice little cherry on top, and he would have had to essentially go away, get everything looked at, and we'd have carried on with our lives.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, the injury was much, much worse than anticipated. His planned main roster call-up was effectively scrapped.
Yep.
And he's now gone in for surgery. And this show opened up with Triple H coming out, very much out of character, Triple mm-hmm. H.
Yeah, for sure.
Very much is coming out. He's holding the NXT Championship. And he's like, this was a match that was years in the making.
Yeah.
And we should be talking about how we're going to have Gargano versus Ciampa at NXT TakeOver New York. Unfortunately, that is not going to happen. However,
yeah.
we will find out later tonight, within a five-way match, who will take on Johnny Gargano for the NXT Championship, the vacant NXT Championship
yeah.
at TakeOver New York.
It's so, just such a shame.
It's the absolute worst.
I know, and that is twice now
yeah.
where it seems like the perfect time for Ciampa to have his big, crowning, defining moment and then injury again.
Yeah, it really does suck.
It's just the worst timing again. And from a selfish perspective as well, from a fan's perspective, to not have the conclusion to this story that's been going on
for
4 years is just awful.
It is, yeah. It's really bad. It's bad timing, but best of luck to Ciampa on his road to recovery.
And then
it was a very interesting sort of direction that we went from there, because the first half of this episode eventually just being was video packages and people kind of reacting to this. But when Triple H finished up his announcement, they cut back to the announcer's desk and you had Mauro Ranallo like really putting over Ciampa as like, you know, what a hero he has been for the NXT mm-hmm. division. We may not have agreed with everything that he has done, but he is a hard worker, etc., etc.
Yep.
And you had Percy Watson, like pure babyface commentator, Percy mm-hmm. Watson going like, what a great guy that he is,
yeah.
you know, this, that, and the other. And you had Nigel McGuinness talking about like, you know, injuries, you know, ruined his career. You know,
mm-hmm.
they effectively ended the career of McGuinness. So he very much spoke from the heart. And then about midway through this first half, we got a video package of Ciampa going in for surgery, which they've got some photos of this up on their website as well on WWE.com,
yep.
which they have labeled graphic.
Yeah.
Because it gets a bit house. It's a bit ER.
Yeah, a little bit. It's Oh, it's brutal stuff, but...
Yeah, interestingly... It's good. Interestingly, not only was this a great video package,
yes,
but it painted Ciampa as a babyface.
Did.
And that's a really interesting kind of way to look at this, mm-hmm, because we've been known Ciampa to be like, me and Ollie and a few other people have been saying he was the greatest heel of last year. Along with the likes of Sami Callihan, I think he was one, mm-hmm, of the top heels in the industry.
For sure.
And here he is, pure babyface.
Yeah.
He was there with his, I don't know if it's his wife or girlfriend. Yep. I'm not sure. I don't know his personal lives. Yeah. But he had a baby with him.
Yeah.
he was Daddy Ciampa.
I know, yeah. Instead of looking after the NXT Championship, he's replaced it with a baby.
Like, this is his new Goldie.
Yeah, exactly. And it wouldn't be surprised they were called Goldie.
That's where he got the idea
from. Of course, yeah.
So it was a really kind of interesting way to kind of present Ciampa. And it really reminded me, and you got to wonder whether, I mean, you'd imagine his fingerprints are all over this anyway.
Yeah.
When Triple H went out with that quad tear in, mm-hmm, 2001.
Yeah.
And that put him on the shelf when he was like part of the two-man power trip with him and Austin. Yeah. And like they were like the ultimate heels, like the pure dick heels. Like, yeah, oh, we hate you. You're like ruining this company.
Exactly.
We don't like you. And then he went off for surgery and he returned at the, I believe it was the Rumble he returned. Or maybe, was it the Rumble? Yeah, he won the Rumble, didn't he? 2002 Rumble? I'm looking to producer Ollie.
I don't know when he went back.
Triple H won the 2002 Rumble, right?
Who did?
Triple H.
Sure. I'll check.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Googling things live on air. But I'm pretty sure he then won. But he headlined the Mania that sort of followed it.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and he came back as a pure babyface.
It was a huge babyface reaction when he came back. So
it was actually Perry Saturn.
That won the Rumble?
Yeah,
oh, okay, yeah, okay. Perry Saturn won the Rumble. Our apologies.
Triple H came in at number 22.
There you go, yes.
There we go, very nice.
My memory hasn't failed me just yet.
Yeah.
I feel like it's getting there sometimes.
Yeah.
And so you almost feel now that Ciampa is heading in this Triple H direction, mm-hmm, this 2001 era Triple H direction.
Absolutely.
And come back as a storming babyface.
Yeah, and I think it would work absolute wonders, because as you said, the seeds of it started now with Percy Watson and Mauro Ranallo putting that over, and you see him being a family man in that video package as well. And the fact that they called up Gargano and Ciampa as babyfaces to the main roster, you've got to assume that that's the direction they want to go. That's the end goal when Ciampa comes back, is they probably want him as that babyface on the main roster. So they're just beginning that now and, mm-hmm, planting the seeds for him to end up at that end destination.
It's interesting you mentioned it being on the main roster, though, because I thought, based around this video package, that he's heading back to NXT. And,
yeah,
like, it's Meltzer was saying in The Observer last week that Black and Ricochet are heading to the main roster. Like, they've said their goodbyes to the NXT audience, mm-hmm, at Full Sail. But Gargano's main roster position is unsure at the moment. It's kind of in question, because they don't know whether they're calling him, but they don't know whether they're going to keep him in NXT. So you've got to wonder whether you actually now keep Gargano in NXT as well.
Yeah.
Have him and Cole and Riddle and Lee and Dijak and all these kind of guys be your new frontier of main eventers. Mm. So you can then have that Ciampa return. Because that Ciampa return is not going to feel as big on the main roster.
Oh, no, not even close.
Because a small percentage of that WWE audience is going to know who Ciampa is.
That's
and
fair.
know what this means.
Yeah.
But if Ciampa returns to Full Sail or at like a big takeover event to help Johnny Gargano win something. Like, again, I mean, fantasy booking here now. But like, you'd imagine if Cole wins the NXT Championship.
Yeah.
And he holds on to that belt, and you finally have that rematch of Gargano versus Cole.
Mm-hmm.
And the Undisputed Era are running roughshod, and Gargano's like, oh, I'm all beaten. And then Ciampa makes his return.
That would be amazing.
It'd be pretty great.
Incredible.
Like, but that moment only works for an NXT audience.
That's very true.
So
yeah.
if it was me, and I feel like the way this video package was kind of presenting that, he's got to stay in NXT. And I think Gargano has to stay in NXT as well.
Yeah, it seems like they can't really have one without the other. So if Ciampa's going to stay, you think Gargano's probably got to stay too.
Yeah.
But I think, yeah, you very good point, thinking that it will only really impact an NXT audience in that way. But I'm thinking that even if he does return to NXT, I think they still want that duo on the main roster. So while he might return to NXT, it might only be a very short stint before they both go, right, you're back now.
Yeah.
Up you go to Raw, SmackDown, or both.
Which is always an alternative. It's certainly something you could do. Or it's just, Triple H has said, there are some people who are just going to be NXT lifers.
Yeah.
And that's not the worst thing.
Exactly. I would not complain.
Absolutely.
About that
I mean, there are plenty of stories about people on the main roster who want to go back to NXT.
Exactly, yeah.
And there are some people in NXT who don't want to go to the main roster.
Yeah.
So maybe you just have Ciampa and Gargano as NXT lifers. Mm-hmm. And it's not going to be the worst thing for them. They'll always be like top guys.
Yeah.
In NXT.
Sure. Yeah.
And when they come back, you can then take them on a DIY reunion as the big babyface team and go on a run with that.
Yeah.
If you want to turn either one of them heel, you could possibly do that again. Mm-hmm. So I think we can almost pick this storyline back up again once Ciampa is back from his injury.
Yeah. Unfortunately, it seems like that's going to be like at least a year, one would think, until that happens. It's something that it was almost like a throwaway line in the video package of him going into surgery, where the head surgeon person said, for a normal, you know, not an athlete, but for a normal human being, it can take upwards of a year.
So he'll be back in 2 months. Then.
Yeah, so he'll be back in 2 months because he's Ciampa and
he'll
he's
be
amazing.
Back by New York, right?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, he'll make a run in, cost Gargano the title. Yeah,
it's all one big work.
It's not real, guys. I mean, he's going to be out, you know, possibly until next year's takeover at WrestleMania, for example.
Yep.
And that's, you know, optimistically speaking.
Takeover Florida.
It would be Takeover Florida, wouldn't it? So having that story go on and Gargano stay in NXT for another full year until Ciampa can come back then, depends what they do for him, but I've got faith in NXT. They've done pretty good things for 4 years with a story, and it's not got boring. So
you can almost imagine that with Ciampa being injured, that they're kind of like, well, okay, the plan that we originally had is now out the window because we can't put the final full stop on this.
Yeah.
So let's come up with plan B.
Yeah.
And we'll just do this instead.
Exactly.
And we'll just plan out the next year, next 18 months worth of storylines to get us to the point when Ciampa is back. Because he's right. In the video, it does say that. Like the guy, the surgeon man, as you called him.
Yes.
The surgeon dude, man. The surgery dude.
Yeah.
Said that this is the second time he's been here in 3 years. And I think Ciampa was like, it's actually the third time I've been here. It's like, this is the second time I've operated him. And they point out the big knee injury that he had. Mm-hmm. And then this neck injury. And yeah, he was saying it could take a full year to recover, but surgery did go well.
Yeah, which is good.
Which is good.
Big
so,
thumbs up for
yeah,
that.
So it's very much a case now to see what happens when he comes back. Mm-hmm. If it does take a year, if he comes back before that time, like maybe his recovery period goes really, really well and he's able to come back. Or maybe he may decide himself, look, this is getting, you know, pretty dangerous now. There have been, Edge had to retire because of these sort of injuries.
Yep.
Paige has retired because of these sorts of injuries. Yep. And you don't want to end up, I mean, perhaps I'm speaking, out of turn here, but do you want to paralyze yourself for this?
Exactly, yeah.
Like, do you want to end up in a wheelchair for the rest of your life for a pop?
I know, yeah, exactly. And it's...
Maybe that's just me.
Yeah, I mean, if it was any other kind of injury, because obviously his first one was just his knee, not as bad. You can get a, prosthetic knee or whatever, you'll be fine. When it's something like your neck... That's when it gets a bit iffy.
Yeah, your spine.
Yeah, because that's pretty important. You might need your neck for, like, walking and stuff like that.
I worry about when my back, like, cracks a little bit, like when I'm doing push-ups and stuff, because I do push-ups.
Oh,
when I do
my... humble brag.
I'm doing push-ups. And I can feel my back shift. I'm like, uh-oh.
Yeah, this is bad. I need to stop this right now.
I knew this was a terrible idea.
when and if Ciampa comes back, it'll be interesting to see if he's still at that kind of max capacity as well, because this might have like a long-term effect on his in-ring ability. He might not be able to take as many bumps as he used to or stuff like that. So again, it's that thing of even if he can come back, should he?
Yeah.
Depending. So big question marks.
Big, big question marks. Yeah.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
We've got to give some shout outs to our pledge hammers over on Patreon who have backed us at the $25 and above level. This is your first time doing this.
This is my first time doing this, so this is going to be
fun. Do not mess this up. It's very important that you get this right.
Please don't crucify me.
So up first, he said there's a rainstorm coming. And then you applaud. There you go. It's a Terminator reference.
I've listened to the podcast. I know to applaud.
Yeah.
Alex, oh, Taco Bell, Taco Bell, product placement with Taco Bell.
Yeah! See, it's funny. When I first saw that thought, I thought it was like, oh, Taco Bell, Taco Bell. But then it doesn't quite work.
Product placement with Taco Bell.
The Edgehead Matthew Gould. Woo! Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Float like a butterfly, Samad Ali.
Oh, yes, mate. Float like a butterfly. Wayne Enterprises. Gilliland.
Woohoo! Crazy cat lady, Katie Martin.
Yes. Whoa. You love those cats.
Crazy and cat eight.
Jumpin' Jerry Smith. Jump high, mate.
Jumping.
When you say jump, we say how high.
How high? Hall-a-mania Patrick Hall.
Oh, Hall-a-mania running
no
wild.
No relation to Scott.
Cool.
Hamburger.
Cool, like a summer breeze. Chris Summerfield.
Woohoo!
Nice.
Last but not least, the Kentucky Rattlesnake, Stone Cold Austin Tussie.
Austin Tussie said, I just whipped your ass.
Woo! Dig, diggity, dog.
So anyway, let's talk about the full NXT show. So the show opened up with Triple H, as we kind of talked about, and he came out to cut this promo. Very, very different kind of Triple H. It was out of character Triple H.
Yeah.
And we talked about the stuff that he mentioned previously, and he said that Johnny Gargano is going to be in the main event of NXT TakeOver New York for the NXT Championship.
Well, can someone ask the question now and they paid money?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, so
yeah.
Someone has paid money and asked a question, so we're going to answer it potentially. We're going to try and answer
for
it.
Money.
Here we go. What we got?
I've lost it. They move so fast. Who is the top guy in NXT?
Who is the top? Who was that asked by?
Who was it asked by? Here we go.
I've lost it.
Is that their name? I've lost it.
So feedback for the next time we do this is to get a better producer.
I feel like it just disappeared as soon as I read it. Mm-hmm. Like a joke. It's gone.
Well, thank you.
Shaded Bear.
Shaded Bear. Well, thank you for the question, Shaded Bear. Who is the top guy currently in NXT? It's got to be Gargano, right? Like he was the guy that was going right for the championship. He didn't have to compete in a five-way for it.
Yeah, exactly.
But for me personally, it's Matt Riddle. Because he was my favorite part of that five-way.
Yeah, that's fair.
In kayfabe-wise, yeah, it's probably Gargano and people like Adam Cole.
Yeah.
But I'm a Matt Riddle guy.
Yeah, I agree. Gargano is the top guy and has been, I'd say, for a while. Alongside Ciampa, it was those two at the top for a while. Now Ciampa's out of the equation, it's Gargano. Adam Cole, for me, I'm just an Adam Cole mark.
He is handsome.
He is incredible.
He is. His eyes.
I know. Okay, yeah. They're piercing.
Oh, mate.
They're beautiful.
Every morning.
So jealous. So Cole for personal, but Gargano for kayfabe.
And I kind of think, like, from what we were talking about at the start of this show as well with the Ciampa thing, like, if Ciampa is going to come back as a babyface, you want to kind of keep Gargano down in NXT
yes.
to continue being that top guy.
Absolutely, yeah, yes. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. They need that draw, yeah.
And Triple H announced that Gargano is going to be going for this vacant NXT Championship in a 2 out of 3 falls match, and mm-hmm. the other half of that dance will be decided in a fatal 5-way between Ricochet, Adam Cole, Aleister Black, Velveteen Dream, and the original bro, Matt Riddle.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent sounding match there.
Oh, beautiful.
Excellent sounding match for something that was put together very last minute.
Yeah.
That sounds very good. And actually, you'd like really put over how strong NXT. Yeah. I mean, exactly. Granted, they're losing two of these guys because yeah. Black and Ricochet are going up to the main roster, but man, there's a lot to pick from.
I know. And even so, even losing Black and Ricochet to the main roster, they've still got like, even slightly lower than that, they've still got strong people like Keith Lee and Donovan Dijak. That's not Donovan Dijak anymore. Dominic Dijakovic.
There you go. Good effort.
It's close.
I think you were there.
Yeah. So they've still got such a deep and talented roster on NXT. It's unreal how you can just gut these people up and be like, yeah, we're fine.
Yeah.
We still got people. Yeah, it's fine.
We're okay, mate.
Yeah, got main event stars.
Because
just lined up.
We build stars.
Exactly,
crazy how that
yeah.
works.
Something I did want to say about that Triple H promo. While it was very out of character, and it was a very good promo and it put across, you know, the heartbreak for Ciampa and got you excited for the main event and NXT TakeOver New York, and it's all very good. I felt like his metaphor about the dreams was a little bit contrived, because he was like, people fight to get their dreams to get in this ring, and the dreams can stop at any minute, and people scratch and claw for their dreams, but sometimes dreams can stop, and this one has stopped, and he'll be fighting for his dream to come back, and I'm like, so the dream is to get in the ring, but also the dream is to fight to get in the ring, but the dream has stopped. So
you've got to have a dream to get a dream.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you dream to get the dream. It was like,
dream.
But Ciampa's gone, so that's really sad. And yeah. it kind of, yeah. So it was still a good promo, though. I'm just being nitpicky. But
I'm going to hit you with a massive segue here. Speaking of things that don't make me sad, Kathy Kelly was backstage.
Oh, very good.
And she was...
Oh, wait. Wait, are we back at the darts now?
We are indeed. Anyway, so...
Can I interrupt that?
I'm going to interrupt that great segue.
Feels very ramshackle.
Because there's been some lovely YouTube love. Stephen Larson's going in Raw.
No way!
Have given us some money.
No way! Oh my God! Speaking of handsome guys.
And they said sending some support for WrestleTalk. Heart emoji! Heart emoji!
Wow.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, guys. Thank
awesome.
You so
Thank
much.
Thank you so much.
God damn, they're nice
wow,
people.
Wow, yeah.
Oh, I don't want to talk about Kathy Kelly now.
Just talk about going in Raw instead.
Oh, that felt like a I felt like a bad connection. Anyway, she was standing outside the men's dressing room, and who should walk out but Tesco's finest, Kona Reeves. And he hasn't been on TV forever. Where's he been?
He's just been hanging out in the locker room waiting to have an interview with Kathy Kelly.
Well, aren't we all? And so he came out and Kathy wanted to ask him about his opinion on the match. And he was like, yeah, it'll be all right, but it won't be the finest. And I was like, mate, get out.
Just stop.
Just go.
Just
and then,
stop.
And then, speaking of nobodies, the Forgotten Sons walk out.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't want to talk about tonight's main event either. They want to talk about next week's main event, mm-hmm. where they'll be facing off against Black and Ricochet in the finals of the Dusty Classic.
Mm.
And it was at that point there, I suddenly thought to myself, I was like, huh. Yeah, it is cool that we're getting Black and Ricochet in this Fatal 5-Way. But with them involved in the Dusty Classic, you could have put two other guys into this match.
Yeah.
And kind of then elevated them into that main event position, as opposed to using two very established main eventers
yeah.
who were on their way up to the main roster anyway.
Yeah.
And they're not going to be around to kind of reap the benefits of being in that 5-Way.
Exactly.
It's not, I'm not saying it's a negative having them in there. I'm
no,
just saying as an alternative path would have been to put in someone like a Lee or a Dijakovic.
Exactly. And exactly, those are the two names.
Or a Kona Reeves.
Not that one. Those other two names, though, yeah. they seem like prime examples of people that could just slot right in and replace Black and Ricochet. But hey-ho.
Hey-ho. Or Jackson Ryker.
Not going to complain
Absolutely
about having
not.
That lineup of five in a match.
Absolutely not. But yeah, they want to talk about the main event of next week, which would be the finals of the Dusty Rhodes Classic. It was horribly scripted as well,
yeah,
because they were like handing the...
Really
they were
bad.
Like, they were trying to finish each other's sentences, but you have to wait for Kathy Kelly to move the microphone across for them to finish things off. Felt very awkward.
It was really
awkward.
Bad.
Yeah, it wasn't great. And then Ryker said a couple of words as well.
Yeah, will not be forgotten.
Yes, will not be forgotten. Yeah, I think it was Cutler. I can't remember which one it is. Cutler made a joke as well about the Forgotten Sons have been forgotten about again. I'm like, you sound like my notes.
Yeah.
We found out one of our themes for NXT TakeOver New York is by Billy Elish.
Mm-hmm.
This might be the most subdued theme for a wrestling pay-per-view I've ever heard.
It's also terrible.
I mean, I'm not going to say, like, I think it might be actually a fine song. I'm sure I'd probably quite like it. But, like, I love Super Organism.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't have them be the theme song for a wrestling pay-per-view because it's not. It doesn't make me go, like, yes, wrestling! Yes! It makes me go, like, oh, I'm going to go for a nice drive. I'm going to have a cup of tea.
From the sounds of this, anyway, the small clip that they played, there was a very small repeating beat, not much else to it, and the person just going, you should see me in a crown. You should see me in a crown.
Yeah, it did not work for me.
Yeah, it's not great. Not
right.
ideal.
Do you like video packages?
Oh,
got some now.
Why do I?
Because we got a video package for Ricochet and Aleister Black, and they then cut a promo saying that, like, hey, we've been a team for a while, but tonight it's not being about a team. It's one of us is going to be pulling double duty at WrestleMania TakeOver New York. And then we've got a video package for the Velveteen Dream saying the spotlight is on him. He'll be the first ever NXT dual champion.
I think that's a really nice character beat as well for Dream, because it's nice for them to... I think normally with these kind of matches, especially on the main roster, when you have matches that are cancelled due to injury or they have a last-minute replacement for something, it's quite clear to see who's going to win.
Mm-hmm.
And for them to include stuff like Dream just being like, by the way, just going to be a dual champion. And it's like, actually, yeah, that could work. That would be really cool if that happened. And it starts to make you thinking of, like, maybe Dream could win this match. Maybe that would be a cool match. Because they've had Dream versus Gargano before.
Mm-hmm.
And Dream came out on top before. So it's like, it's something that plays into the overall feeling of the match, so it doesn't feel quite so obvious as the outcome of the winner. I think it's just nice for them to embrace that rather than just be like, focus on these guys, and also I guess these guys are in it as well. Any one of these five could actually win it.
Yeah.
And I think that to have them promoting that in these video packages was very
cool. I thought it was really cool.
It was very well done.
Yeah, really, really well done. Yeah, and they brought up in the commentary that Gargano-Dream feud.
It's
a mini-feud, I suppose you could call
it.
Then we got the Tommaso Ciampa video package that we talked about at the top of the show.
We did.
Then we got a video package from Matt Riddle, who said, quote, I'm stoked to be in this match. Bloody love you, Matt Riddle.
And he also said at the start, he's like, I've been here a long time. Well,
not really a long time,
but like long enough.
I was like, I've been here long enough.
Long enough for a title shot. I was like, well, sure. Why not?
It really brings a smile to my face that we have a real life Michelangelo in a wrestling ring. Then we got a video package for Adam Cole. And he said that this time last year, the TakeOver event, he held a title above his head.
Mm-hmm.
And this year he's going to do the exact same thing.
Yeah.
Good promo from Cole.
And he even linked it back into his debut when he beat up Drew McIntyre and held the NXT Championship above his head that time as well. That was 2 years ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, and they brought that up in the commentary as well. Like, when Cole won the match, they were talking about, hey, like, they're going into the building where the Undisputed Era came together.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, because that was on SummerSlam weekend.
It was, So it was Brooklyn 3, I'm going to say.
Brooklyn 3 or Brooklyn 2?
I'm going to say Brooklyn 3.
Brooklyn 3. I think that was really good. They just...
I gave a surreptitious look to the camera for people to correct
us. Yeah, Brooklyn 3? Please? Thank you.
Yeah.
So it was nice for them to reference everyone's kind of history. And I really dislike it when people just disregard history and it's like, oh, that didn't happen. But we're telling this new story now. It's for them to acknowledge this is everything we've told and all of this links in to this one match that you're about to see tonight. It was really good through these video packages
and
as
I
a whole.
Particularly like it as well when they kind of tie things to buildings, like buildings where things have happened. Like we're doing a WrestleMania 20 for our Patreon podcast in next week. It should be up on Monday.
WrestleMania XX.
Yeah, fingers crossed it'll be Monday. It might be Tuesday. but they in that match, you've got the Rock and Sock Connection versus Evolution.
Mm-hmm.
And when Mick Foley's making his entrance, and they used to do this a lot for Mick Foley matches, but like, you know, this was the building he grew up in, you know, Long Island, New York. He was just down the road. He used to like come to Madison Square Garden when he was a kid to watch WWE events. And now here he is competing for like, you know, these big matches. And I always thought that was really cool. It really felt like it made Mick Foley matches feel very special when they're in Madison Square Garden. So maybe you can do that sort of thing for Cole and the Undisputed Era, that the Barclays Center
is like a
spiritual home for
them. Exactly.
It's quite cool,
especially if Cole manages to win the NXT title at TakeOver New York. That would be the crowning kind of achievement. It's like, we started here, we won the NXT title here, and then hopefully they go on and do multiple other things in the Barclays Center too.
Yes.
That would be fantabulous.
Absolutely. Kathy Kelly was backstage once again, this time with Kairi Sane and Io Shirai. And they're also excited for the main event. They're not a part of it, but they're excited for
the main
event.
They're excited to watch it. It'd be a good, good show.
They were more excited than the Forgotten Sons and Tesco's Finest.
Yes.
And they said that nothing is going to come between their friendship when it comes to the NXT Women's Championship. Then Bianca Belair walks in and says a lot of the things that Bianca usually says. But mm-hmm. she was especially arrogant and annoying. Like, she has got that character down so well.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
really has.
It's a really irritating screen presence. Purposefully irritating.
Yeah, exactly. It's the good kind of irritating. Yeah. Rather than Stephanie McMahon irritating.
Baron Corbin
irritating. Yeah. It's fantastic. And the way she just came in and she's just like, this didn't involve you before, but you're here now and you're trying to mouth off to me. So now this involves you and I'm going to go through both of you at TakeOver New York. I was like, that is great.
I love her character so much. And when she was just like, my mind is undefeated.
Yeah. Oh, my mindset is undefeated.
Oof. That's great.
Brilliant.
We found out what our second theme for NXT TakeOver New York is. And I might get some heat for this. It's by Disturbed, mm-hmm. which means it is a great song for a wrestling show.
Very good.
In 2003.
Oh, there's that one. Just slipped in underneath.
Come on, man. Disturbed in 2019. Like, I thought we all moved past that in 2004.
It's better than the other one. Put it that way. That's what I'll say.
At least it sounds like a song for a wrestling show.
Exactly, yeah.
In
2003.
And next week, Black and Ricochet will face off against the Forgotten Sons in the finals of the Dusty Classic.
Indeed.
So, 32 minutes into this show, once the entrances are done, wrestling happened.
Yay!
But I'm not gonna complain, because the wrestling that we got here was amazing.
Incredible stuff.
And I feel like a lot of this show has been around this, but I loved Matt Riddle when he was making his entrance.
Mm-hmm.
Matt Riddle's got this amazing swagger about him anyway, the way he sort of walks to the ring, but he kind of looks at the belt and it's like, bro, this would look really good on me. And then when he gets into the ring and he goes to kick off his flip-flops, or thongs for our non-UK viewers.
Uh-huh.
He kicks it off purposefully towards Velveteen Dream because they're setting up the feud, right?
Yeah.
Like, they've been kind of like setting up this feud for the last couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So for him to just, this match really isn't involving that feud, but I'm going to keep that feud bubbling over.
Exactly.
And I'm going to kick my flip-flop at you. And Dream's reaction will be like, what?
just kick a flip-flop at me?
I loved it.
Flip-flops aren't in fashion.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
At Matt Riddle while he did his pose.
Yeah. It was fantastic.
Speaking.
It was great stuff.
It was absolutely brilliant.
Yeah.
And they really put over Aleister Black coming into this match as well as the only person in this ring who has held NXT championship. Mm-hmm. Not like North American championship, but he's been NXT champion.
Yeah.
Which I thought was a really kind of elevated him in this spotlight.
Yeah. It was great stuff. And all of these guys are undeniably top stars in NXT. Mm. But it was a really good character speech. But like, yeah, they're all top stars. But Black is the only one that's actually done it and won the title.
Only one of them is
only
a champion.
Only one of them,
absolutely.
It's great.
I also love that Mauro Ranallo is calling Aleister Black Sir Kicks-a-Lot. I'm now gutted that Aleister Black is going to the main roster, because Michael Cole's not going to do that.
Yeah, oh, he might, though. Moody Kicks-a-Lot. That's him now.
Yeah, terrible. This match, I mean, we're not going to go through things like spot for spot.
No,
granted, because you didn't write them down, because you just got too.
No, I started off and I at the start of the match, I wrote down a note that said, oh, there's an all these guys chant. I was like, that's nice. Everyone loves everyone. And I was going to talk about how great NXT is because they've got so many stars. And we've already kind of talked about that with the roster depth. And then my next note is just, because there's just so much stuff that happened. This match did not stop from start to finish. It was like spot, 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 spot. We're going to tease this thing and then spot, spot, spot. It was like, oh my God, what is happening?
It felt very much halftime heat in that aspect.
Very much
where
so.
Halftime heat was essentially spot fest.
Yeah.
Like, there was like, let's just do loads of wicked spots.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes when you're doing like a fatal five-way, it's kind of hard to like make a fatal five-way feel like psychologically sound and things like that. So just doing it, just do mad spots, mate.
Yeah.
And I'll be honest with you, I'm going to have a wonderful time.
Yeah.
And
who
I did have
enjoy that.
I had a wonderful time.
Yeah, it was spectacular.
And I thought they did a really, really great job of putting Riddle over in this. Riddle's, he's kind of this newcomer to this kind of like main event crop, because Dream's gone for the NXT Championship before, as has, Aleister Black's been a champion. Ricochet and Cole have been North American champions, who've kind of been sort of that top level thing.
Mm-hmm.
Both of them were in the War Games match last year. So they've kind of already been like, we're established main eventers.
Yeah.
Riddle's your newcomer into this. And I think they did a really good job of putting him over because he got the bro mission locked in several times over. Got it locked in on Black. He got it locked in on, I think he got it on Dream. I think he got it on someone else. I think he got it like 3 or 4 times in this match. And everyone had to keep breaking it up because the bro mission is a really well-protected submission in NXT thus far. Yeah. I just thought that was a really, really nice way to structure this match and make Riddle seem like a very dangerous threat.
Yeah. And the thing that I really liked about this is they made Riddle look amazing as this newcomer, but they didn't harm anyone else.
Absolutely.
Everyone
not.
Looked amazing coming out of this. Yeah. It was so good.
Dream's selling. Dream, I think I've said this before, but if I'm not, I'm going to say it every time now. Dream's punches are amazing.
They're so good.
Oh, they're wonderful.
It literally sounds like he's taking the head off with every punch.
They look so good.
Yeah.
Punches are one of the hardest things to get right in wrestling. If I was ever a wrestler, I would have terrible punches.
Yeah.
Despite the fact I used to get into fights all the time, I don't know how to work a punch. I could probably punch you in the face for real. Wouldn't do a lot of damage, but I could probably do it.
Yeah, it'd be fine.
But I couldn't work a punch.
No.
And even if you could look at John Cena, the way John Cena, like when he wrenched his arm back and he looked so phony and rubbish.
And the thing is, though, it's so hard to like pinpoint what makes a punch look good. Whereas you say with Cena, when he like winds up and does like a big punch, it looks rubbish. Dream does it. It looks amazing. He does the same thing. He's just like puts his whole body weight behind it doing it. And it looks amazing.
Absolutely brilliant. Yeah, really good. Also loved Matt Riddle's roll through sort of deadlift gut wrenches.
Oh, amazing. So triple gut wrench while holding on. Yeah. Oh, it was amazing stuff.
And his deadlift fisherman suplex as well.
Yeah.
He's just brilliant.
Straight up from the floor, just whoop.
And there's straight up. The way this match was also structured as well, it was very much built around, okay, we'll do some spots in the ring with these two people, then they'll go out the ring, or one goes out the ring, and then someone else comes in and we'll do a face-off between those as well.
Yeah.
But every time they did it, I was never like, oh, this is a bit repetitive, this. I'm like, oh, cool, I want to see this next one.
Exactly, yeah.
When it was like Matt Riddle and Aleister Black standing in the ring, I was like, oh, yes, hello.
Yes, please.
Yes, please, mate. Can't wait to see this. Yeah. I just thought it was just a wonderful match. And then this finishing sequence was just brilliant. Because you had like, they did sort of like a big double down. They want to say...
Penta down?
Yeah, penta
down.
We'll call it a penta down.
Yep.
As a penta down, and then they did a Tower of Doom spot, which was really good.
Mm-hmm.
And then you had Dream and Riddle did like a really good exchange, and then he got in the bro mission, and Cole pulls out the referee. And then, as he gets in the ring, Black Master Matt Riddle just completely wipes him out. Dream Valley Driver, and then Ricochet, Hurricane Runner's Dream to the outside.
Oh.
Huge shooting star. A huge shooting star pressed by Ricochet.
like halfway across the ring and about 20 feet up. It was ridiculous.
It was ludicrous.
Yeah,
and then as Ricochet has got the pin, the last shot by Adam Cole.
To the back of the head.
Ricochet selling it. It was just like, I'm out.
Yeah, it was beautiful. And they showed it on the replay as well, like, he need him in the back of the head. Like, there's no working in that. Like, that looked legit. Like,
finish was
my God.
Absolutely incredible.
It was. And I think just the expression on Cole's face as well. He hit the last shot and he comes there. The referee's right in his face and he's screaming at the referee. He's like, count! Come on! And that expression on his face is just like, he's so excited to win this match and he just wants it more than anything. And it really puts over the NXT Championship and how much these guys want it, what they're fighting for. It was amazing. It was so good.
Absolutely. Just wonderfully brilliant stuff. Loved this match.
Incredible.
And they were really putting over on commentary because the storyline they've been telling for the start this year is that, you know, Undisputed Era haven't been winning things. They were out first in the Dusty Classic. Mm-hmm. They've not been racking up wins.
No.
And I think it was Mara Ranallo said, like, the fortunes of the Undisputed Era are changing.
Yeah.
Because now Adam Cole,
baby,
is going to be facing for the NXT Championship at NXT TakeOver New York in the main event.
Yeah.
The fortunes of the Undisputed Era are starting to change. And he went up there and he posed next to the belt. Mm-hmm. And I was like, this was awesome. Terrible for Ciampa.
Oh, terrible.
And terrible that we didn't get the finish that we were really wanted for that storyline.
Mm.
But I'm super stoked for Adam Cole versus Johnny Gargano at TakeOver. I think
should
that's
be amazing.
On a show that's going to have Walter versus Pete Dunne as well. Crikey.
My heart.
Oh, mate.
To peel back the curtain a little bit, Walter and Pete Dunne are probably two of my top 5 favorite wrestlers in the world. And the fact they're facing off at NXT TakeOver New York for the UK title is like...
That is going to have... I'd imagine it will do as well, because I think Smallman's working on all this. That's going to have a real progress feel about it.
I hope so.
That's going to have a real progress
feel
about
that
match. I mean,
if that's half as good as Volta versus Tyler Bate, then, we're in for a cracker.
The best match of last year. Would have been top if it had been for me. Actually, one I want to do, Walter versus Will Ospreay. But anyway.
Also a good one.
So, What are you pointing at?
I'm just saying.
Don't show that on the stream.
Sam, Pete's girlfriend has just commented on the live stream. Ooh, look at that cutie.
Thank you. So anyway.
God, Michelle, you're the worst and also the best. Thanks.
Yeah, which is nice because my wife just sent me a message going like, there's no audio. Your audio's not working. I'm like, I know. We know it's not working. We're trying to fix it. Anyway, so that was this week's NXT. What did you think of the show?
It was cracking. I mean, well, I say that. Half of it was nothing. It was hype packages and there was only one match. But that one match was amazing. So it was great. Yeah. Really enjoyed myself.
Certainly well worth going out your way to see. You can Absolutely. Skip through to about the 32-minute mark and mm-hmm. skip Tesco's Finest and things like that. And it'll just go straight through to the main event, which was absolutely wicked.
And if you want to get more excited for the main event, you can watch those hype packages because they did a pretty good job in it making you excited for the main event.
Yeah,
so
really good stuff.
Worth a watch.
According to
dictionary.com, okay.
In their slang section,
uh-huh.
bougie is a hip-hop slang for something, quote, luxurious in lifestyle yet humble in character, influenced by and often interchanged with the slang bougie.
Okay.
With no J, it's with a B-O-U-G-I-E. So okay. Luxurious in style yet humble in character. Does she seem humble in character? She's quite arrogant, doesn't she?
Yeah, I wouldn't say that's bougie at all. Yeah. I'd say it's just the luxurious part.
Yeah, I'd certainly say so. Because, like, then why is Carmella saying, like, that's a bad thing? Surely being humble in your character is a good thing.
Yeah, how dare you be luxurious.
and humble
and
about
humble.
It.
And humble.
No, I want you to brag about it. Brag about how luxurious you are. Yeah, I don't get that being a bad thing at all.
No, I have no idea. Maybe it has some other meaning that we don't know.
Yes.
Maybe we're just idiots.
Although, to your point on that one, James, thank you for your email. She should be getting a push of some sort because she's now got that partnership with Vanessa Bourne,
mm-hmm.
which you'd think is going to go somewhere. So I can't imagine she could be taken off TV.
Although, for someone seen in their gimmick, Natalya and Beth Phoenix have just joined a tag team, which is basically the same thing, right?
Oh, no!
So, be the second time Natalya's stolen her gimmick.
Oh, bloody Natalya. I'm going to start a petition on this. This comes in from Lewis. Hello, Luke, Ollie, Laurie. Hello, Luke, Laurie, Ollie, in spirit, and most certainly not Randall Vandal Datsun. I would ask you, I'm going to loop you in on this as well because you'll definitely be interested in this.
Okay.
Myself and a friend are both interested in getting into D&D.
Yay.
Thanks, Laurie, for the Critical Role recommendation. However, we don't have enough like-minded friends to join in the shenanigans, and so we got to talking, and he jokingly suggested that there needs to be a Tinder, but for D&D parties. The idea expanded loosely into the mixture of Tinder-style social app, not one of those jogging aspects, and LFG, looking for group website services for finding parties of various levels of experience, campaign length, character roles, etc. Unfortunately, neither of us are app development savvy enough to mock something up. What do you guys think of the idea in concept, and do you think it would work well for attracting people who have an interest in D&D into playing campaigns? Thanks for all the content, guys. You make my mundane office job so less so with the content, and sorry if it comes across as patronizing or anything. Absolutely not at all, Lewis.
Not
Thank you so much
all.
For your email. That is a bloody wonderful idea.
That is a great idea.
Because instantly, I'm thinking where you and I are going to be heading this coming June to mm-hmm. UK Games Expo.
Exactly,
in
yeah.
In Birmingham.
Uh-huh.
Because that's the sort of thing that you can essentially prep. You can go to UK Games where we're like, well, I know I'm going to be playing a campaign for 2 hours with this group of people that I've met via this app.
Yeah.
And they need some, like, you know, even if like, okay, we've got six people at the table, but we need seven. There's a space mm-hmm. open. That's a great idea.
It is a fantastic idea. Because, I mean, there's places online for people to find games and stuff to go with. But it's very hard to try and find one to play in person with like-minded people who want kind of a similar game. Because there's various ways you can play D&D, where you have, like, you know, just the hack and slash and people just do combat and make stuff look cool. Or you can have a very kind of character-heavy, intensive style of it. So finding, like-minded people so there isn't any kind of conflict of interest would be a great shout.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because you can play online, which I do regularly. I'm in three campaigns that I play online, and they're fun, but they're nowhere near as good as playing in person.
Yes, it was always better in person.
Always better in person. So I think having some sort of thing where you can find local people to play with rather than just people on the expanse of the internet mm-hmm. would be fan dabby dozy.
That is a very, very good idea. Great idea. Best of luck to you. Hopefully, you can get to work on that.
This I hope you can find something, because that would be. I'd want that.
Yeah, I'd like that app
as
well.
I would very
yeah.
much like that. So.
Because, I mean, I'm quite fortunate in the fact that my D&D group, we were all friends prior to joining together anyway, and we all just said, let's just start a group together and we'll do it this way.
Exactly,
but that's not always the case for people.
No, exactly. I mean, I'm the same, but like I said, we're very spread out like across all of the UK, so it's hard for us to even meet up to do a session. And when we do, it's bloody fantastic, but it's so hard to do on a regular basis because it's just online most of the time.
This comes in from Fox in Texas on the same sort of subject. Hello, Luke, Ollie, and Laurie, but certainly not Handy Fandy Fapson. I am writing to you to say that I'm also getting into D&D as a first-time player.
Oh,
I've been listening
God.
To this one podcast for about a year now called D&D is for Nerds. It's a group of Australian guys probably playing the worst game of Dungeons & Dragons ever and pushing their DM closer and closer to killing them off as soon as every campaign begins. As someone who doesn't play D&D much yet, I'm not sure this is the way most campaigns are supposed to be played. It's very true, they're not.
Yeah, they're not.
But it's pretty hilarious. So maybe give the first episode a listen and tell me what you think about it. I do / watch Critical Role, Talking 20, and Outside Xbox Team play D&D also. All good suggestions from Laurie last week in helping new players get into D&D for the first time. P.S. If you enjoy D&D for Nerds, check out their main podcast, which is called Plumbing the Death Star. It's basically the guys getting a question every week and answering it in the most insane way possible, which leads to a lot of fun. Luke was asking for some podcast suggestions a few months back, and I finally got round to it. Anyways, keep up the consistency. That's from Fox in Texas. Cool. Name, mate.
Thank you
very much. I don't think that's the way that most D&D campaigns
are, not really,
unless you're playing like the Tomb of Horrors, which is just designed to kill you.
I think it's much better when everyone at the table is a player and the DM has a slightly different set of tools than all the players, rather than it's the DM versus the players.
Exactly.
It just leads to an escalation of stupidness.
Abso-bloody-exactly.
Yeah.
Let's have one last email here. This comes in from Magnus, who is also one of our pledge hammers over on Patreon. Hi, Luke, Ollie, and Laurie. First of all, thank you for answering my question. That was on the Saturday show. You and Laurie did a pretty good job with the pronunciation of my last name during the last ramble. I was born and raised in Oslo in Norway, but I'm half Swedish, so Bernstrom is actually a Swedish name, but they use the umlaut instead of the cross. I don't know what that cross is called. I know what an umlaut is.
Yeah, I know.
And it's probably got an actual name. But
yeah, I'm not sure on it.
So it's always fun to hear you talk about Sweden and Scandinavia. So the reason I sent this email. Last August, I worked on a TV production, a reality show, where celebrities / reality stars controlled a restaurant on their own. I haven't seen all the episodes since they started airing, but watched one today and something peculiar happened. So to set up the scene, you're probably going to understand what they're all saying. The theme for this week was what they're going to serve, a French-themed wedding. And for dessert, they're going to make a croquembouche. Croquembouche.
Sure.
Yep, cool.
Is that French or is that Scandinavian?
Well, one would assume so, because croc is very like C-R-O-Q-U-E. Very French. Bosch croc. Also, yeah. Maybe it's croquembouche?
Croquembouche. Sure.
Yes. Perhaps. Sounds like an instrument you'd have played at in musical class in like year 7, but didn't actually want to touch. Like a glockenspiel. There are no professional glockenspiel players.
No.
But they are struggling with it for a few hours before the restaurant opens. So the editor decides to use this song for dramatic effect when everything is falling apart. Link below. So it's a little quiz for you to see how quickly you can get the song. It starts about 7 seconds in. Hope the sound isn't too bad. He's linked us to a YouTube video. Keep up the good work. I'm going to have to put my volume back up. Keep up the good work and keep me entertained for so many hours during the week. It's from Magnus. So here is the video clip. Let's see what sort of quality this is.
7 seconds in.
It's at 7 seconds in.
Okay, they play it a bit. That's a song.
It's the old Keith Lee music. Yeah, that is the old Keith Lee music.
That is nuts.
Rubbish Keith Lee music.
What? That is ridiculous.
Thank you very much for that. That was a very, very, very weird thing.
That was. What? Okay.
Let's have some 80% facts.
Oh,
this
God,
comes in from Ivan. Ivan. Do apologize.
Ivan.
I was told by my dad that if a farmer doesn't milk a cow soon enough, the udders will overfill and the cow will explode. Don't think that one's true.
No, I don't think so.
This one comes in from Chris. Greetings, Luke, Ollie, Laurie, and Pete, but not Randy.
Hey.
Which I guess would make this an 80% greeting. Excellent. Lovely.
Nice.
Loving the new segment, and it just so happens that I stumbled across my own 80% fact recently. Apparently, you can make invisible ink out of human semen.
Okay.
He goes, I've read it in a book, but I haven't gone back to check it, and I haven't Googled it because I'm afraid of what I might find.
Yeah, and I don't think you want to do that practically either.
Absolutely not. Mm. This one is called an urban legend, 80% fact. It comes from James Dillon, who emailed earlier. Luke, Ollie, Master Blaster, El Fagador. I have an aunt who has convinced her kids, my cousins, that phobias people have are actually how they died in a past life. So people who are deathly afraid of heights must have fallen to their deaths previously. One of her kids has always been afraid of the ocean, so she told him he either drowned or was eaten by a shark.
It's going to make them nice and easy when they go on the waters then.
He concludes, she's a bit of a nut job. Later, guys. Thank you very much. This one comes in Amazing. From Rich, and this one is 100% fact.
Oh, here we go.
And I'd never heard it, and I was gutted. But just listening to your admiration of Seth Rogen on the SmackDown review, fun fact, and this is a 100% fact, Seth Rogen is the voice of the Toronto Transit Commission announcement. So if movies are improved by him showing up, your morning commute would never be bad, as you will hear his voice on the train. So when me and my wife Amazing. Were in Canada for our honeymoon, we caught that train. And there are they've got pamphlets up and everything with pictures of Seth Rogen, animated pictures of him saying Seth Rogen, you'll hear Seth Rogen on this train.
Amazing.
And we never did.
Oh.
Every stop boom. I'd be like never came to fruition.
That's so cool though.
Here's incredible. We've got more facts about sneezing.
Okay, cool.
This comes in from Dwillen. The talk about sneezing in the past few episodes reminded me of two facts myself. Let's see if any one of you've got repeated here, because this could be nuts. In fact, they're not. They're brand new ones. The reason behind people saying bless you when you sneeze is because your heart tends to stop, skip a beat on every sneeze. That's not true at all.
That's not true.
That's not true at all. No. It's to do with the plague.
Yeah, I always told, here we go, this might be my own 80% fact.
Actually, I said that with such certainty, I now sure don't anymore. Know. That might be an 80%
fact. We had a live podcast and now we've got a live 80% fact.
So what do you think it is?
What I was always told was that, okay, this one isn't real, but this was what I was told when I was a kid, was that your soul tries to escape when you sneeze.
Yeah.
That's what sneezing is, your soul trying to get out. And you say, bless you, so that your soul remains within you and you keep your soul.
Yeah.
Not true.
Yeah.
Well, probably not true. 80%
sneeze,
not true.
Sneeze, bless it. No, sneeze.
Sneeze, bless you.
Bless you. Play.
And here's a 100% fact real quick while we're talking about sneezing. Did you know that in Spanish they just say Jesus instead of bless you? They just say Jesus instead of bless you, which they're just saying Jesus at you, which I think is great.
There's no
bless
official
you, Jesus
official there's no really official thing. There's a Wikipedia page. Can you really trust that?
I mean, it's more trustworthy than
someone
a
from
forum.
The Sun claiming that it's something, but I wouldn't trust them either. There's one page from The Guardian that says it comes from the Great Plague, but I don't think we can trust that either. So I'm going to keep that as an official 80% fact.
80%
that,
fact.
That it's to do with the
possibly
plague.
85.
And just because you're here, Pete,
okay.
I'm going to end off with a joke.
Oh, yes.
Hey, Luke, Ollie, and Laurie, I'm a huge fan of the show, and it makes my 1 hour plus travels to and from work a lot more tolerable, so thank you. This comes in from Sam. Anyway, I have some bad news. I bought a fish to the supermarket today, and all its innards were removed. Gutted.
So stupid.
Well, it worked on Pete.
So stupid.
That is all we've got time for. Thank you so much for listening. Ollie and I will be back with the Saturday show where we haven't decided what we're going to be talking about yet. It's been a lot of news over the last couple of days, so maybe we'll talk about something from there. But we will also have your mailbag questions and your crap gimmicks, as well as your Rusev Hayes get betters and your general correspondent nonsense. I have been Luke Owen. This has been, I've done a terrible outro. I love you. Goodbye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.